righteous meet in the sky, going where no one died
heavenward bound. Amen, 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 and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How's everybody doing? God is good. God is good. You glad you woke up this morning? Do you love God? I really love the... If you love him, sing it like you mean it. Yes, I really love the Lord. And you don't know. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love. Oh, let's sing that one more time. We can do better than that. Yes, I really love the Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love. He watches over me. And he watches over. He watches over me. And you don't know what he's done
for me.
Oh, yes, he gave. Yes, and that's why I love. Well, I love him. I really love the Lord. And you don't know what he's
done for me.
Oh, yes, he gave. Thank you, Lord. That's why I love. Oh, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. That is beautiful. That is beautiful. That's beautiful. You know, I really want to sing harder than that, but I'm scared I won't be able to preach. Amen. If you're visiting with us, thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship.
Amen.
Here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, our elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service. If you're watching by way of television, thank you for joining us. And we hope and pray we can say something that will minister to you this morning. If you need to talk to someone, if you need to have a question, please call a number on your screen. And we'd love to speak with you even this day. This is the day the Lord has made. And let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
I want to entitle my lesson this morning, Back to School. We know school is tomorrow. This is the Lord's day. We might not even get to tomorrow. But I thought I'd subtitle the lesson, Three Things for Your Backpack. That's not original. I was reading and I saw that somewhere. I can't remember where I read it. I'm sorry, I don't remember where I read it to give the person credit for that title, but it was an article, and I used it as a title for my lesson, subtitle for my lesson. Three things for your backpack. Thank you, Brother Vernon, for your prayer.
Amen.
And praying for our educators, our administrators. If you are an administrator in a school, if you're a teacher in a school, if you work in a school, I mean anywhere in the school, because if you at a school, you're around children. Would you stand for just a moment? If you're in the ministry, one hand up. I want the church to see. We have a number a number of administrators. I mean, these are teachers, these are principals, assistant principals, those that work in the office, those that work in schools, outside. Thank you so much for standing up. You need to sit down. You're going to need your rest tomorrow. Yeah. Now, if you are a student, and you will be going to school, some of you may have already started school. If you're a student, would you stand? You stand. All our students stand. All our students. Don't be shy. We have young and older students. Those who's going to college. I wish I really probably should have done this last week, but I couldn't fit it in last week because a lot of our college students have gone on to college. But these are our students. It's not nearly all. But we're gonna ask the Lord to bless you. So thank you. Would you sit? Before I finish, I want two of our elders to come and pray another prayer for all of those that are administrators. I want to get to the point this morning as we worship and serve our great God. I want to be as practical as I can to use the word of God. Now, the rest of you that did not stand, you know you are in school, don't you? You're not getting away from this lesson this day. Look at Deuteronomy in the Bible, chapter 5, verse 1. Deuteronomy, chapter 5, verse 1. This is also for those, some people have issues with Bible class. I get in discussion sometimes. Well, I used to, not very much now, discussion with people. Well, Brooke, your Bible class not in the Bible. You haven't been reading your Bible. You have not. Listen to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse number 1. Deuteronomy 5, 1. This is Old Testament, and I'm very much aware of that. Then Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and ordinances which I am speaking today in your hearing, that you may learn." Everybody say learn. "That you may learn and observe them carefully." In the Old Testament times, when God gave the written law to his people, he gave the written law. It was read publicly to them. It was read in such a way that also implied that more than reading would have to be done. And he says, "I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to listen to it, because you have to learn." See, the word school is simply a place of learning. It's a place, the school is an institution that has been designed to set aside space, the time, the environment for the main purpose of us being in school is to learn. To learn more than what you already. So if you go to school tomorrow, when you go to school all next year, you ought to have much more knowledge than what you had the previous year. The previous day, you should learn something every day. I know every day, my mother used to say, "What did you learn at school today? What did you learn at school?" If you go to school any day and you learn nothing, your parents need to go talk to somebody at that school. Amen, somebody. I mean, that'll be something we learn every single day. But it's not all the teacher's responsibility. Yes, Lord. And here, even in the Old Testament, God required his people. Yes, he gave them the written law, but it's written, but you still have to school yourself in the statutes and the teaching to know what God expects us to do. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. 2 Timothy 3:13. "But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however," and this is Paul writing to the young preacher Timothy, "you, however, continue in the things you have learned." Timothy had been in school with his grandmother and his mother-in-law, his mother, and he had already learned some things before he started preaching. Amen, preachers. There's a lesson in that for you also. Yeah, you don't get up here and want to, "Brooke, I got a sermon on my heart." Not if you haven't studied. Not if you haven't been schooled some kind of way. He says, "have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned." Don't nobody know everything. Amen. All of us. I mean, it is. Have you ever been in a class with a kid who act like they know everything. I got a question. That's fine to have questions, but understand you don't know everything. And even if you know everything, don't act like you know everything. He said this, and that from a childhood you've known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Then Matthew 11:29, Jesus speaking, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. How are we going to learn? We have to place ourselves in an environment that we can be schooled, not just by yourself. Yes, we must read on our own, but we must also gain knowledge by others who have read and studied. That's how God has made. That's how you obeyed. You obeyed the gospel because the Bible says you must hear his word. Amen. So you got to be quiet long enough to listen. Amen. And that goes for us all. He says, you may learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. So all of us are in school. And then, Brother Gary, I'm 85 years old. Well, if you understand and you're still alive, amen. Do you know everything? Amen. I respect my elders, and I'm going to say that just once because I don't want them to think I'm fussing at them because they know more than what I know. Now, Brother Gary, you have your master's degree. That don't mean I have a master's degree in one area of study. All of us are ignorant of something. And see, ignorance ought to keep us humble, shouldn't it? Yeah, ignorance ought to keep all of us humble. How many of you know how to put a motor in a car? Raise your hand. We have just a very few hands. If you don't know how to put a motor in a car, be quiet. Amen, somebody. That's not my lesson. Let me give you three things to put in your backpacks. Students. The first one is discipline. Everybody say discipline. Discipline. It can be used in different contexts, but I'm talking about this discipline in the way it's used in Hebrews chapter 12. If you are, the definition that applying to the word in this context, it's a training to obey rules. It's a code of conduct. Really, more than that, it is discipline. It's control gained by enforcing obedience, or order, if you will. Also, we know that discipline is a field of study. I'm going to college, and what's your discipline? It's engineering. It's a field of study. Not in that context we're using this right now, but most individuals don't like this word. But if you are going to be pleasing to God, we must submit to discipline. Listen to the book of the Hebrew writer in Hebrew chapter 12 and verse 11. Hebrew chapter 12, verse 11. Students, listen. I was just trying to get your attention in. All discipline. I love all scriptures. I've told you that before. I love because those are easy to interpret. The scripture says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. And see, I've had a hard time with this one myself. But there have been so many things that I have had to do that I did not want to do. Because discipline, even in it applies that there's going to be a measure of uncomfortableness, something that you don't want to go through. That's why a lot of individuals fight discipline. This morning I was driving to church and I was going through downtown and I saw a big group of men. Early, it was about before 7 o'clock, big group of men. And it was by a shelter and big old line of men. And all those men was getting, they looked like they were getting up, or somebody was getting them up. And I'm like, my, what is going on? Why are they here? And I prayed a quick prayer for all those men that was out there. Don't you pray for people like that? Aren't you glad you got a house to stay in? And I'm not judging, prejudging. I'm not saying what they were doing. But I prayed for them. I said, thank you, Lord, that I'm not in that line. This to the students. Can I just say this real quick to the students? See, what you doing right now, where you are, if you, I'm talking about preschool, parents, what we are training our children. I've seen, you know, I didn't know they kicked 3-year-old children out of the nursery. I didn't know that till this year. They will, if a 3-year-old is in and he can't, she can't sit still long enough, or you biting somebody, or you hit, no, notice it happened to our children, y'all. And I'm not saying some of us may be struggling with some of these things right now, but I tell you what, don't you ignore them. Amen. Don't ignore them. It's best to get it right as early, early as you can. Notice, and sometimes parents, we don't discipline because we don't want to go through it. It's uncomfortable. It causes us to spend more time, but it's best to do it. All discipline for the moment is unpleasant. All of it is. I mean, how many in here? Well, you would probably not gonna raise your hand if I ask you anyway, but I'm gonna ask it anyway. Now, you know, I my kids were potty. You know, my girls, they were potty trained. But Lord, pray, please forgive me. I didn't participate in it that much. My grown girls now, but my grandbabies, you know, they around me all. They around us all the time, and so I'm watching my girls potty train. Now they almost all two of them are, and I'm watching them potty train them, and I'm like, this is work. They're trying to sit on the pot. They doing all kind of little games, and they got little potty things and tricks. And I'm like, you don't take all of that. I'm sitting there watching them, and they be singing to them, and don't let one of them go ahead and potty in that pot. But I'm telling you what, you get a 6, 7, 8-year-old that's not potty trained. It's work to do that, isn't it, to parents? But is it worth it? Do you want to change diapers till they 7? It's a simple matter, but sometimes if we get lazy, children cry for elder children. Be quiet. They cry for everything. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you have to let your children cry. But it hurts when they cry. But it hurts worse when they don't have control, self-control. And the scripture just screams at me. It says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit. This is a principle. This is, students, you may not fully understand. Grown folks, we understand. Even when we don't do it, we understand it. Because it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. When you go through some discipline and you submit to it, but you stick with it because there's some peace down the road. And I prayed for those men, and I just wonder in my mind what happened along the way. Some of our students choose the easy path because it's easy. You don't have to study that much. You don't have to challenge yourself that much. And we choose the easy path because we don't want the difficult training. We don't want the hard training. We don't want to stay up. We don't want to read more books. We've all been there. But as I get grown, the Bible says the old teach the younger. And there are some lessons, grown folks, are there some things we would have done differently? Oh, Lord, Lord. And I hope you put some discipline in your backpack, and I hope you apply it in every situation of your life. And don't run away from challenges. Don't run away from difficulty. Let me give you a few tips as you take this first one. Listen. First of all, don't cheat yourself out of sleep. This is practical. See that you in school now. Most of you in school, especially you that's really young, you don't have a job. You're not working. You better praise and thank you the Lord. I wish I could go back, Lord. I wish they didn't have my address so they couldn't send no bills to my house. My email address. Don't cheat yourself out of sleep. What do you mean, Brother Gary? That means get your homework out the way. You're a full-time student, no other responsibilities, and you're staying up all late, all night long, playing this, watching that. Take care of your business first. And you train yourself to do that. And you know what? My mother used to, all through high school, sometimes God gives some of us, you know, I'm not say bigger brain, more than a memory. And in school, I did good. As a matter of fact, I didn't challenge myself all the way through high school. And you know, I used to do my homework. I played sports after I got a little bit older. I would be riding home or any kind of chance. I would do a lot of my homework at school. If I had some kill time, you know why I do my homework at school? Because I used to want to watch Ultraman and yeah, kids don't even know what that is. I wanted to watch my cartoons and I wanted to do those things, and I knew I couldn't do it till I took care. And so we're not. We know you're young. We know that things you want to do, but you need to take care of your business first. And it takes some training. It's a thought process. It is discipline. It is doing something that's difficult so you can have some peace on the end of the line. And see, don't procrastinate. The practice and repetition makes perfect. The only reason some people are high achievers is because they do more of the right thing more of the times. That applies in sports and in whatever field that you're in. Some guys, they can shoot a basketball better than you because they shot it more than you. Not that they're greater than you, not that they have a better skill than you, but they stay out. You playing and they shooting. You laughing and they shooting. You hiding and they shoot. You partying and they are shooting. And while you partying, they are shooting. And one day that shooting pays more than partying. While you are lollygagging, they are studying. They are, and see, a lot of times we don't go through the training. And see, the training is what makes it easier and easier. You see, somebody becomes an engineer, somebody becomes a pharmacist, somebody becomes a doctor. That's some difficult training. But after you go through the training for a while, it's not as difficult as you think. But you got to jump on it. You have to stay on it. It's the same in our Christian lives as we live for God. It's not as hard as we make it. Jesus says, my yoke is easy. My burden is, if you compare my burden to those out in the world, it's much easier to live a Christian life than it is to live a life for the devil. If you're a liar all the time, boy, that's a hard way to live because you can't remember what you said to somebody. But if you're telling the truth and you practice telling the truth and you do it every time, your mama asks you something, tell her the truth. And you'll live a much more peaceful life. Yeah, and so there are some things that we got to continue to train ourselves. Put it in your backpack. Don't envy high achievers. Imitate them. You're making. Don't let me even start talking about your friends. I know you. We don't want you to latch on to folk, but look. Make your circle small. Just you don't have time writing down. You know, some people go to school. See, everybody is not at school to learn. Some of your friends can't wait to get to school so they can scope out the whole school. Some guys gonna scope out the girl the first day. All they're gonna be talking, man, did you see? Did you hear? They scoping out everything else but school. They know all the dead spots at school. Man, I found this spot that ain't nobody find. Nobody see you. When you hear talk like that, you keep it moving. Yeah. You see. We call the high achievers, we call them nerds. We call them nerds till it's time to get all the awards. You know how when they get all the awards and the scholars and they call your name, and then everybody get jealous of the nerds. They always calling her name. They always calling his name. That's because they have some discipline. Now you want them to call your name. No, they won't call your name. You will be working for the nerds. You believe it if you want to. I'm telling you, it's all the way up through college. I played college and I played sports and there were high achievers on my high achievers. There were some guys on my team and they couldn't play a lick. Sometimes I wondered how they even get on the team. But I know some of them right now. I've called a few of them for some job references. Yeah, you walk in a building and you see their name is not just on the sign, it is the sign. Don't be afraid to work hard, student. Don't be afraid to buckle down. Don't be afraid to spend the time. This is what the scriptures say in the wisest man that ever lived said in Proverbs 14:20. He says, in all labor there is profit. See, just don't be afraid to work, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Amen. You in your class, you always going to have somebody that's funny, that make everybody laugh, that's the jokester. All they do is talk. And you know what? Everybody remember. You remember so? Yeah, man. He was just crazy, man. He was just crazy. The only reason I won't call some names is because they filming this right now. But I had a whole bunch of crazy friends. And the truth is, they steal. But it's not funny anymore. Because that talk leads to poverty. The crown of the wise. The crown of the wise is their riches. But the folly of fools is foolishness. The second word is respect. I need to end on time. Second word to put in your backpack is respect. Everybody say respect. Now, respect of yourself, first of all. So you see, a man can't love his wife like God wants him to love her until he learned how to love himself. So husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for you. Will any man, see, will any of you, if you love yourself, that's the first step in you treating your wife the way God wants you to treat her. And I hope that we all respect ourselves because you don't respect yourself, it's hard to respect anybody else. But let me go to Romans chapter 13, verse 3, and get to the point. You've heard it before. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior. And this is, it is in this context, it's talking about the governing bodies and who God has appointed as our officers, as our policemen, those in authority. But it speaks for anyone that is in authority, even our teachers and our principals and those that lead others. It says, the rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Those that have been set in authority over us, whether it's in school, whether it's in administration, whether it's in government, if we are doing what is right and we're doing what is good, we don't need to be afraid of them. I know we live in an environment that's questionable right now, but on the whole, those that's in authority and you acting right and you taking care of business and you driving the speed limit and you're not cussing nobody out and you're not, then they are your friends. They are our friends, but for evil, you should fear them if you are causing foolishness. Amen. Then the scripture says, do you want to have no fear of authority? Do you want to have no fear of authority? Amen. Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. See, I can only speak from my own experiences. I never had a problem with this one. But I know in different environments, different upbringings, depending on how we were raised, it has a lot to do with it. But see, I had such respect of authority because it does start at home. And my mother, my dad, they say, we're not going to have no problem with this one. And I feared them. And as I got older, after I got baptized, I feared who? I feared God.
Amen.
Because God sees what your parents don't see.
Amen.
And then when you start learning more of the Word of God, and you see the applications, and you reading God's Word says, you know, my wife now, her favorite scripture is children obey your parents. It's still that. In the Lord, for this is right. Because she would put that on my daughters in a minute. You know, we would, she said, all right, you're going to cut your life off. And I'd be listening, KB. That's it. And then that's what she said. That's in the Bible. Go get your Bible. Ephesians 6:1-3. That your days may be long on the earth. The first commandment with promise. Now you and even now in church, the children don't even want to hear me preach it now. But you know what? That's in the Bible. But let me save you some misery. Respect your teachers. And see, respect means, they are in authority. It means, and it doesn't mean that you cannot ask a question.
That's right.
Ask a question, because when you don't know something, you need to ask. But there's a certain way you need to ask a question.
Amen.
When we're speaking to someone in authority, it means that someone is in a position to make decisions that will affect you in a way that you don't have any control over. See, you can be right, and because they're in authority, they still can make your life miserable because they are in authority. And God says, listen, those that's in authority, you do, first of all, what's right. Most of the time, especially our young kids, you go in class, somewhere in that classroom, they're going to have some rules there's some dudes in there. First, when you see that, you read those. You know, I remember the rules, raise your hand when you're speaking. They used to do that. I don't know if they still do that. I don't know if high school they still, raise your hand. We couldn't, when I was in school, at that young age, you couldn't get up out your seat before you got permission.
Amen.
I've seen drastic things happen to individuals who broke the rules. And if you want to save yourself some misery, if you want to save your parents some money, and some time from coming up to the school, if you want to save your time, some time from time out, from marks on your grades, is you learn how to respect authority. If you have something to say, raise your hand. Before you make a decision on your own and you're a little bit unsure about what you need to do, ask the person in authority. Well, okay, I had to use the bathroom so bad that I just got up and left. Ask somebody in authority before you make decisions. In your young as you are, and some, you know, and I know some of us don't like to ask, but learn how to respect. Everybody say, all the students in here, I want you to say with me, all the students in here, I want you to say these words. Thank you. Okay, all right, I heard thank you.
That's right.
Thank you. And I know, we all spread out in different places. But see, there are some things that keeps you on those that's in authority, that keeps you, it makes sure that you're on their good side. I'm not talking about playing up to anybody. I'm not talking about that kiss somebody in the burger. I don't kiss nobody. Well, you need to learn how to kiss a little bit. Yeah. None about you. Don't go toe-to-toe with your teachers.
Amen.
Well, but Gary, sometimes they wrong. That's what you got parents for. That's what you, somebody, when you ready to, when you get so mad that your teacher, your coach, they make you so mad and you want to fight them, don't you fight them. Don't you curse them. The first thing you need to do is you need to tell your parents. Tell somebody at home, because they have a little bit more authority, first of all, than you do. And you need to give them the respect. Get control of yourself. Stop going off on everybody. Because you will be in detention, you will be in the office, you will miss time out of class, time out of school, and they'll have to be straightening all out, and it didn't have to go through all of that. Oh, have mercy. My last one, I got to go for time. It's courage. Everybody say courage.
Courage.
You're going to need this. And mental, moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty, to act in accordance to your beliefs, especially in spite of criticism. Ooh, Lord, this is one, parents, we prayed, Lord, I hope my children got something in them that help them to do what's right in the face of challenge, to help them to drive. Listen to Mark chapter 15, verse 43, Mark 15, 43. Joseph of Arimathea came, a prominent member of the council who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God, and he gathered up courage and went in before Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. This is after Jesus had been crucified. Joseph, He was a believer, but he was kind of low key. He was on the council, and now Jesus has been crucified, and he's hurting, and he knows an honorable thing that he can do. But see, some of us as grown folks now, there's so many things that we wish we have stood up on. We wish we would have stood up, that we have challenged ourselves, that we would have done if we just had a little bit more. More courage. We miss opportunities when sometimes we still kicking ourselves because we just wouldn't step up. And sometimes, see, and you're young right now, and you can take advantage of so many things. And don't worry about failing. You gonna fail some things. Fail, fail, fail. But don't make the mistake that many of us as adults have made, is that we let opportunities pass us by because we simply did not try.
Amen.
so many things that, see, some of you don't know what you're good at anyway. You don't try it, I don't want to try out for this because I know I'm not going to, you know it. And now I'm not saying you don't know your talents, but Joseph, he notice this. This, his courage to ask for the body of Jesus, got his name written in the inspiration of the Word of God for all times. One act of, you don't know anything else about him, but that he stood up for Jesus at a time that he didn't have to. And God recognized his courage. And now I'm talking about him today for something he did thousands of years ago. Courage, I'm telling you. His courage makes the difference in those of us that are sitting here right now who have gifts and talents that we sit on. And the church needs more males and females who have the courage to really do what God has put you on this earth to do. Lord have mercy. And yes, courage. And yes, courage to do what's right. Amen. Yeah, Moses told Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. For the Lord your God, the one who goes with you, he will not fail you or for students. There's nobody at your school that should control you to the point that you're afraid to go to school. Oh, but yeah, you don't know. Yes, I do. We have some bullies when I was in school. I had a bully that bullied me. Those that older members know, I've talked about him before. His name was Wild Child. That was his nickname. My brothers know about it. He used to steal everybody's lunch money. If you were a little wimp, he was going to take your lunch money. He took mine one time. Well, he didn't take it. He threatened me, and I gave it to him. I wasn't going to get beat up that day. Give me your money. I think I told my brother, it might have been Vincent. And you know what he said? You bet not. Where he at now? He said, boy, you better not never let nobody take no money from you. What's wrong with you? That's the way he used to talk. But you know what? He gave me strength when he said that. I'm like, you right. This is not funny. Because you know some of our students, some of your children, you know how people can be. You know how, I know it's none of y'all's children, but that's some evil little children in these schools. And they can perceive when somebody's a little passive. And just because, see, I was quiet, and they thought I was quiet. And I was a little wimp for a little while till I learned better. And see, listen, let me say this now. Listen, you need this.
That's right.
Because you can't be walking around letting folk. See, if you acting scared, they know you're scared.
That's right.
But if somebody bullies you, don't you hesitate. First of all, you know, we don't want you fighting at school. That's going to get you kicked out. So you got to use this. If somebody challenges you, yeah, you're going to start with your teacher. And sometimes teachers are busy. They can't hear you. You tell somebody, like the same thing I did when I was in school. I went and told my teacher, and the teacher said, well, Gary, y'all just behave, behave. It's going to be all right. And she kind of threw it off. And it didn't happen that way. And so I understand that realistically as a student, sometimes teachers, if your teacher don't respond, make sure you tell your parents, your mom, your dad, somebody, tell them, especially nowadays. Jump on it right now. Everybody bringing guns to school and knives and everything else, take care of it right now. Notice, but it takes courage to tell a teacher. It takes courage to tell your parents. You got to have some courage. And courage is not courage if you just don't do nothing. You try to handle it yourself and you deal with it and you think about it. And Moses told Joshua, look, you be strong, Joshua. You be courageous and do not be afraid of all these heathens in this land. And see, there's a certain demeanor. See, when you have confidence, you walk differently. You know, listen, this is the God honest truth. Wild child came to me again for some money. This is the truth. He came to me again because he got it once. You know, because if they bully you once, they coming back. If you don't get it right, he came to me again. I saw him from a distance, and I tried to avoid it. You know, and a lot of times you can do this, but I saw him from a distance, and I tried to avoid it. He said, I see you. And he came over and walked to me, but I was different this time. He saw me, and I stopped him. How he walked. Now this time, instead of me whimpering down, I walked. I said, come on. And he came over to me. He said, give me your money. I said, I ain't giving you nothing. I'm telling you, I got an attitude with it. I was thinking about Vincent. Because I figured if I gave it to him, Vincent probably going. And I told him, I said, I ain't giving you nothing. He said, you go, you going to give me. I said, I'm not giving you nothing. I said, you act like you want my money? All my brothers going to whoop you. That's what I told him. I said, boy, my brothers would tear your tail up. And you know what he did? Oh, man, I was just messing with you. I said, you ain't getting my change. And guess what? He never, ever and listen, I know this is easier said than done. See, in your church family, in the large church, you know, some of us are not where God would have us to be in serving him because we just don't have. See, courage, you got to step. Some of us, we could be teachers. Some of us could be leaders in the Lord's church. And we for some whatever reason, and listen, I've seen brothers who have been afraid to pray, to walk around the Lord's table. You think it may look like it's routine, but it takes some courage if you haven't done it. Now, these brothers have been used to it, but you haven't done it before. To get up here and pray, read scripture, you got to start somewhere. And so this applies in all of our areas of our lives. Students, as you are younger and our confidence is the girls, you know, we worry about how I look and everybody gonna look at me, everybody look funny at school. Everybody got pimples and knots on their heads and crooked eyebrows and big lips and big ears. Stop worrying about everybody. God loves you. Amen. Notice, we love you. You have a village. You have a community. You got somebody that's on your side. You have a youth minister. You have a minister that used to be a youth minister. We have parents, teachers, administrators, principals in this church. Amen. You have support. Yes. And we want our children. We want you to be all that God intends for you. We don't want to lose nobody. But some things we can't do for you. And courage is one thing that you must put in your backpack and you must take it with you and walk with confidence and sit in the class with confidence and read and listen and decide if it's something that you want to try. Yes, and don't worry about failing. You're at an age right now that it's okay to fail. But you challenge yourself and do what's right. Do what you have the courage enough. You're going to have out so many opportunities this year that you're going to have to say. You're going to have opportunity to smoke for the first time. You're going to have opportunities to drink for the first time. It's going to happen sooner. I don't think it's going to happen. Sometimes it catches you off guard. And if you don't have some courage, some little wimp, some little boy, some little slickster is going to try to convince you to do something that you know is wrong. You know it. You know it in your heart. You know it in your soul. You know it from the word of God. But you are going to have to stand. And you can do it. You can do it. God loves you. He loves us all. He wants us all to be what he would have us to be. You may be here this morning and you're not a child of God. You need to be first. You need to have all of God's blessings. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you need to come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You need to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. You need to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes. You need to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. We've baptized several young people this year, this summer, and we're so glad you made that choice at your age. I know I made it at a young age, but some don't make it because they say, well, Gary, I know I'm not perfect. Hello. I'm not ready. I don't know if I can handle it. You better obey God while it's on your heart. And you take God with you and you keep striving. Don't put God on the sideline. Put him right deep, snap, dabble in the middle of your life while you're in school. You're going to need him. Yes. If you're here and you want the church to pray for you, we'll pray for you. If you're here and you want to get something right, get it right now as we stand and sing the song.
There's a fountain free, tears for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste to his brink. Tears a fount of love from the soul.